From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns continues the seventh in a series of messages expounding Isaiah chapter 53. The title of this message is Full Atonement. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Today's devotional is entitled From Fetters Free. The text is found in Psalm 146 and verse 7, The Lord looseth the prisoner. He has done it. Remember Joseph, Israel in Egypt, Manasseh, Jeremiah, Peter, and many others. He can do it still. He breaks the bars of brass with a word and snaps the fetters of iron with a look. He is doing it. In 1,000 places, troubled ones are coming forth to light and enlargement. Jesus still proclaims the opening of the prison to them that are bound. At this moment, doors are flying back and fetters are dropping to the ground. He will delight to set you free, dear friend, if at this time you are mourning because of sorrow, doubt, and fear. It will be a joy to Jesus to give you liberty. It will give him as great a pleasure to loose you as it will be a pleasure to you to be loosed. No. You have not to snap the iron band. The Lord himself will do it. Only trust him, and he will be your emancipator. Believe in him in spite of the stone walls or the manacles of iron. Satan cannot hold you. Sin cannot enchain you. Even despair cannot bind you. If you will now believe in the Lord Jesus and in the freeness of his grace and the fullness of his power to save, defy the enemy, and let the word now before you be your song of deliverance. Jehovah looseth the prisoners.
I was lost, but now I'm found, blind, but now I see. Burdened down by sin, till Jesus rescued me. I was in the miry clay, when he lifted me to the blessed rock of ages for all eternity. I am free, he sets me free. From the chains of sin that bound me, I am free. I am free, he sets me free. From the darkness all around me, I am free. I am walking now by faith, standing on his word.
By the blood, rejoicing in the Lord.
Now I know I'm heaven bound in the narrow way. So I keep my eyes on Jesus, and from my heart I say, I am free,
I am free.
He set me free,
I am free.
From the chains of sin that bound me, I am free. I am free,
I am free.
He set me free,
I am free.
From the darkness all around me, I am free.
So I'll just tell you why. Because my sins,
all my sins are gone.
And when I meet the scoffers who ask me where they are, I say my sins are all gone. They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God,
my sins are gone.
From the chains of sin that bound me, I am free. I am free, I am free, he set me free.
I am free
from the darkness all around me.
From the chains of sin that bound me.
From temptations that surround me.
I am free. Yes, I am free.
In these troublesome times for our nation, many voices are looking to the government or to social action for the solution. But the only real answer to the human predicament is a true spiritual revival. Many Christians have no idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense. Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. But down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved, times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with John Edwards. These were times of genuine spiritual revivals. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches had to be built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of Duncan Campbell's own account of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. There's also a CD containing the personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. Either CD is $5, or you may obtain both for $8, which includes postage and handling. To obtain your own copy, you may simply send a check for either or both CDs to LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
Thank you.
As Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in Isaiah chapter 53, he brings the next portion of an exposition of verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. In this verse, we've come to the heart of the gospel message, the atonement which the Lord Jesus Christ made on Calvary's cross. In the course of the message, Dr. Cairns is calling attention to three elements presented in the verse. First, there are the straying sheep. We've seen that, like sheep, sinners go astray because it is their nature to do so. Rather than submit to God's call of the gospel, they look for something else in what they regard as the greener pastures in the world. They follow the devil's lies to their own destruction. Now to continue a message entitled, Full Atonement. Here is Dr. Cairns.
The Bible speaks of those who go into everlasting life. The Bible speaks of those who go out into outer darkness. The Bible speaks of the saints who shine in glory with Christ. And it speaks of those who moan in the darkness of a lost sinner's hell. It does not hold out the figment of universal salvation. And therefore, it does not teach the figment of universal redemption. It is nonsense to say that Christ could bear all your sins, and yet you could end up bearing those sins and their punishment for all eternity. If you look carefully at the text, you'll see that the speakers here are a peculiar class of people. First of all, they are penitent people. This is the language of confession. These people are confessing their sin. Not only that, but this is the language of conversion. These are people, if you look at verse 4, they are saying, there was a time when we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. There was a time when we looked at Christ and we said he was justly condemned. Go back to verse 3. There was a time when we hid our faces from Christ. But now in verse 6, what are they saying? They're saying, we went astray. That's confession. We turned everyone to his own way. That's confession. The Lord has laid on Christ our iniquity. That is the language of faith, the language of dependence on Christ. These then are confessors, and they are converted people. And they're saying, all we like sheep have gone astray. Now it is true that all men have gone astray. It is true that all men are sinners. But it is not true that all men have Christ as their sin bearer. It is the peculiar aim of this text to teach that there is a people on this earth who confess that they went astray, who confess that Christ is their only hope of forgiveness, salvation, and acceptance with God. This verse then addresses these penitent. They are, in the verse, looked on as the flock of God. Actually, if you were to read the original carefully, you would find it says, all we like the sheep, or all we like the flock. There is a particular flock in mind here that the Lord is speaking about. And he's saying, this flock of God has this testimony. Now, they started out as straying sheep. All we like sheep. You see what sin does to a person? Sin can take a man. Not only can take a man, it always does take a man. And in many ways, it makes him no better than a brute beast. All we like sheep. You think that is not very flattering to man in their natural condition? No, it's not. But I tell you, it is flattering compared to what Jeremiah says. Jeremiah takes the birds of the air, and he says, they have more brains than the sinner. Even the birds in the air, they know their season. They know when it's time to fly from danger. But left to themselves, sinners don't know. You see, sin can take a man and by nature leave him no better than the brute beast. All we like sheep have gone astray. The word "have gone astray" simply means we erred. We went away from God. We went away from His truth. Now, why does a sheep err? Why does it wander? Why does it stray? Well, you could say, first of all, it's its nature. Sure it is. I saw this graphically when I was home in Northern Ireland. When I was gone, you had the choir singing all in an April evening. I don't know why I had to miss that. That must be the nicest choral piece that our choir ever sings. And of course, that's because I introduced it to them from Britain. But all in an April evening, describing the newborn lambs in the field. Well, it wasn't in an April evening, it was an April afternoon. I was driving up around some of the most beautiful countryside in Europe, along the northern tip of the Antrim coastline in Northern Ireland. You're measuring Ireland at its longest point. Dr. Bob Jones once stood over there and he thought you could spit all the way from there to the Vatican. It was so near. Well, that shows you could jump from one end of Ireland to another if the wind was going in the right direction. But anyway, you measure it from Fairhead in Antrim. Well, we were just beside Fairhead. We were driving around this little country road. Some of you have wider driveways up to your homes than that public road was. It's great sheep country. And we were seeing all the newborn lambs in the field. We drove around this corner, and there was a lamb, just a lot of days, maybe a week or so old, frisking about in the middle of the road. So I pulled in, and I said to my brother and his wife who were with me, I better try and catch that thing and put it back in the field. Of course, you know, I ought to have known better. I had spent 15 years in sheep country. I ought to have known better, but I didn't want somebody coming around and making lamb chops of the thing before it was time. And so I pulled in, and I said, "Will you see me trying to catch this thing?" Well, I didn't have to catch it. It actually came bounding, and believe it or not, I wouldn't believe it if I hadn't seen it. Like a poodle, it actually jumped up. And I took it up, and I said, "Right now, I'm going to get this thing back in the field." So I went over. I saw a ewe in the field, and I couldn't tell one ewe from another, so I went over and put this thing back in the field. Turned to go back to the car. It was straight out of the field again, and it was at my heels. So I said, "Well, it mustn't be that ewe. Maybe it's this field on this side." So I took it and I put it in the field on that side, only deliberately put it over where between it and me there was a deep gully. And I reckoned that this tiny little creature couldn't get through the gully. Well, I was right, it couldn't, but it tried. And its feet were hanging, and it was just hanging there by the breastbone and bleeding away. So, being softer-hearted than Mike Barrett, I turned back again, and I lifted this lamb up, and I said, "How on earth am I going to get rid of this? If I'm seen with it in my arms, I'll be had for sheep stealing. You have cattle rustlers and sheep rustlers and whatnot." So I said, "I have to try again." And I wandered away down the road, got to a field where I had to reach up over the wire fence. There was a big high bank. I dropped the thing down and ran for dear life. And just as I was reaching the car, that thing had haired away down the field and was coming out again. Why was it doing it? It's in its very nature. Why do men go astray? Why do they err from the truth of God? It's in their very nature. Ah, but you see, there is always in them another reason. They don't reckon that this is just a perverted nature. When the sheep or the lamb is one side of the fence, and it looks out the other side, it always sees power. pastures that are sweeter, surroundings that are more alluring, things that promise much, and it's going after something better. You know, that's when sinners go astray. By nature they wander, but they are always looking for better pastures. The devil is always promising something better than the Bible has to offer, something better than God has to offer, something better than salvation, something better than this religious life, something better than going around Bible thumping. My, the devil offers you something better for yourself, better for your family, your children, your home. Everything will be better if you just follow the old serpent, the devil. Of course, it's a lie, but that's why men like sheep go astray. That's why they fly in the face of God. That's why they thump the Bible under their feet. That's why they refuse the invitation of the gospel. The devil has them convinced that he has something better to offer. Of course, when they wander like sheep, they expose themselves to tremendous dangers. I don't know about the lamb that I talked to you of. I didn't stay around long enough to see how long it would live. I know that 30 seconds later it escaped by the skin of its teeth when another car came around the corner. And I know it couldn't be very long until either a dog came along and ravaged it or a car came along and killed it. It was exposed to great danger. That's what happens when men are wandering from the Lord. The straying sheep is peculiarly vulnerable. It's confused. It's open to danger. The straying sinner is always in a vulnerable condition. To stray apart from God's word, to turn your back on God's truth, to blind your eyes to the beauty of Christ, to deafen your ears to the call of the gospel, to kick over all the traces of biblical truth, I tell you, it opens you up to every kind of danger and satanic attack. All we like sheep have gone astray, foolishly, stupidly. Sheep are notoriously stupid animals. They wander. A dog will wander if it will have the sense to find its way back. But not a sheep. Foolish. Foolish because the greater the danger, the more it seems to expose itself. Oh, what a picture of sinners. The greater their danger, the greater they lay themselves open to that danger. And foolish also, because the only shepherd sinners follow is a hireling shepherd, a false shepherd. Jeremiah 50, verse 6, speaks of such shepherds. Ezekiel 34 speaks of such shepherds who will come and fleece you. Some of you in the meeting this morning are following leaders, following shepherds, maybe ministers, maybe religious shepherds, maybe worldly shepherds, but you're following. And I tell you, if you're not following Jesus Christ as your Savior, then the shepherd you do follow is out to fleece you. He's out ultimately to destroy you. This is what the text is speaking about. All we like sheep have gone astray, the straying sheep.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.